Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
Take a lush hillside topped with tall hemlock trees, plant a collection of more than 15,000 varieties of other trees, shrubs, and woody plants collected from all over the world. Toss in a magnificent view of the Boston skyline, and you've got the Arnold Arboretum. Harvard University maintains the Arboretum as a public park for the city of Boston, a place that's high on the list of school field trips when spring ignites the park with a dazzling display of fragrance and blooms. On this spring morning, some work crews are out spraying oak trees for winter moth with a bacteria that kills insects. Other workers fan out to snip and prune in advance of the Arboretum's biggest event of the year, Lilac Sunday. More than 200 different varieties of the fragrant blooms will be on display on Lilac Sunday. We've come to Arnold Arboretum to talk with its senior research scientist, Peter Deltredici. He says in recent years, the big day has become something of a moving target.
Traditionally, at the Arboretum, the Lilac Sunday was around the third Sunday in May, the 20th, somewhere between the 20th and the 22nd, 23rd. But about 15 years ago, we realized that most of the lilacs had already gone by the time Lilac Sunday arrived. So we shifted the date up, and we now celebrate Lilac Sunday here at the Arboretum on Mother's Day.
So why is that happening, do you think?
Well, all you do is pick up the newspaper, and chances are there's going to be some story about climate change. The blooming of the lilacs, which is really a temperature response, is one of the signs that the weather has been changing, particularly here in the Boston area, since the 1970s.
So things are warmer earlier.
Things are getting warmer earlier.
Now, what about the fact that there's more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere? That's a fertilizer for plants.
Well, that would affect how quickly things grow, how vigorous they are. It wouldn't necessarily affect when they bloom. So in other words, if you look at the amount of ragweed or poison ivy that's proliferating along the roadsides, you might be able to say that might have something to do with carbon dioxide enrichment. But in terms of blooming times, I don't think that has anything to do with CO2.
But wait a second, you're saying that the weeds are taking advantage of the more CO2? We might have more weeds as a function of this?
Well, that is one of the predicted effects of climate change. Certain plants are more efficient at being able to convert CO2 into carbohydrate, and the weeds seem to be particularly good at that.
Let's take a closer look at one of these lilacs. Now, unfortunately, I haven't figured out how to get my microphone to record this smell. But
well, that is unfortunate. That is really sad. Well, this one it's got a ways to go. Let's see every plant here at the Arboretum, one of the things that's really terrific is labeled here, this particular plant, Syringa vulgaris. This is President Lincoln. This is a very, an American selection from the 1800s, late 1800s, early 1900s. This plant is from 1995, and it's considered to be one of the bluest of the lilacs. Really beautiful plant, and it'll be in full bloom. If the weather stays warm, particularly at night, it might even be in bloom for Lilac Sunday.
What else has really changed over the last 100 years for these plants at Arnold Arboretum?
The other thing that's happened, and this is intensified by the fact that we're in the middle of a city, basically, is that one of the byproducts of increasing CO2 in the atmosphere is acid precipitation. And so we have the soils here at the Arboretum, the pH has been dropping precipitously over the last 50 years. And, we have to put a lot of lime on the soil to counteract the negative impact of acid rain. So lilacs are a lime-loving species. And so this area, in order to maintain its health, we have to put a lot of limestone on these plants.
Are you losing plants because of these changes?
The acidification of the soil is one of these sort of hidden things that is clearly a byproduct of burning of fossil fuels. And what happens when you lower the soil pH is that certain nutrients that are available to the plants at higher pH become unavailable, and aluminum becomes toxic at lower pHs. And so when you change the soil pH, that really changes the whole health status of the plants. And so in terms of, they become more susceptible to diseases because they can't get the right nutrients out of the soil. So it's one of those factors that really contributes to the general decline of vegetation. And so bringing that pH back up to, you know, above a pH of 5, 5.5 is really critical to maintaining the long-term health of any woody plant. So this is one of our research plots here at the Arboretum. We're on Hemlock Hill, which is one of the parts of the Arboretum that's essentially been in forest since the Arboretum was founded.
Now these trees are some big babies. This is, what are we looking at, 100 feet tall here, huh?
Or close to it, that's for sure. These are hemlocks, Canadian hemlocks. And the reason I brought you here, though, is that as you look up into the canopy of the trees, you can see how they look pretty thin. In fact, most of the foliage is on the upper 20-25% of the tree, and all the lower limbs have died, and you can see right through them. And this is the result of, we've had a pest. The hemlock woolly adelgid from Japan has been infesting this stand since the mid-1990s, and it's, the trees have been slowly dying from the bottom up. Normally, when the temperatures are below -5 degrees centigrade, that will kill the hemlock woolly adelgid, or at least you get 98% mortality. But when the temperatures are above -5 degrees centigrade, there's relatively little mortality. And normally people would talk about this as a problem of, it's an invasive species that's come in and devastated a native tree species, the hemlock. But it's not as simple as that, because in fact, yes, you have an invasive pest, but changes in the climate have facilitated its ability to destroy its host. And so this is one of the things about climate change, is that it changes the way species interact with one another.
Now we're talking, you know, the world average temperature's gone up actually less than a degree Fahrenheit, but they're talking about, in Fahrenheit terms, 2, 3, 4 degrees as maybe the best we could do if we really cut emissions sharply right now. What you see here, what does that tell you what we would see in the future?
Well, remember, Steve, that we're in the middle of Boston, essentially. And so in the urban areas, these climate change effects are intensified because of this, it's called this heat island effect. And that just refers to the fact that there's so much pavement and there's so much development that the urban areas are actually much warmer, not only in the summer, but also in the winter, than the surrounding countryside. So in the urban areas, you get a sort of a preview of what's likely to happen on a much larger scale, because the cities are warming up much faster than the surrounding countryside.
Now, there's a new gardening hardiness zone map that's been issued by the National Arbor Day Foundation, and that shows what plants can be planted where, what time of year, and survive and not get hit by a frost. And it's now showing that some parts of the country are fully one zone warmer than they used to be. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on this.
Well, we like things, everything to be predictable. You know, we're here in Boston, we're in zone 6. You know, we've always been in zone 6 as long as anybody who's alive can remember. The idea that somehow we're moving into zone 7 is just like earth-shattering. You know, nobody wants to accept it. And I would caution gardeners, because that's based on long-term data. But the fact of the matter is that every year is independent. In other words, the difference between climate and weather. And so we could still have a very cold winter. It's not out of the question. We could have a zone 6 or even a zone 5 winter. Climate change doesn't rule that out. Climate change is really all about unpredictability. So yes, you might be able to grow camellias if you get it just sited right, but I wouldn't bet the farm on that right now.
Dr. Peter Deltredici is a senior research scientist at Harvard University's Arnold Arboretum in Boston. You can find a link to the Arboretum and photos of its famous lilacs at loe.org. Our visit with Dr. Deltredici was produced by Living on Earth's Eileen Balinski. Next time on Living on Earth, the iPod has revolutionized the way we get our entertainment and our information. Now it's revolutionizing one of America's favorite pastimes.
I dialed up the pre-programmed call on my iPod, broadcast the song through an external speaker, and bada bing, there it was, a male chipping sparrow, hormones pumping, singing madly from the branch in front of me. Like magic, dial a bird.
Birding meets the iPod, next time on Living on Earth.